Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you want to have a trusting, loving, and honest relationship with your mother or daughter, you're in the right place. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a Christian clinical psychologist and ordained chaplain, better known as Dr. Bessie. My co-host and I will share God's expectation of a mother and daughter relationship to help you with your healing process towards your best mother and daughter relationship according to the Word of God. So sit back with your pen and paper or recorder because we are coming after your heart.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables. I am Dr. Bessie sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Whew. I love saying it. Around the world. It is an awesome opportunity to be able to reach out and touch mothers and daughters. And, you know, we don't even know the people that we are connecting to. That's the most unique thing about being on the World Wide Web, as they call it, www. You know, you are on the World Wide Web, and that means anybody from around the world can be in a position to communicate with you, to hear you in an instant, in the now. Powerful. That's why we have so much going on that is in and out of good, bad, evil, indifference, because people can connect now. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But all I want to say is let's just be present right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the opportunity to come on this morning and be able to share what the Holy Spirit has placed on our hearts. And look at it, as he said, divide the word. God tells you to divide the word. Look at it. Question it. Think about it. Meditate on it. And as you meditate on the word, you get revelation. As you get revelations, you get blessings, because then it lifts you up. So I'm excited. New things are happening. My world is opening up. God is just doing some of the most amazing things. And it's nothing new. He's just doing what he said he's going to do. I'm just catching up with his word. Are you with his word? That's where you got to be. You got to be with his word. Don't go ahead of it. Don't linger behind. Don't try to go sideways, up or down. Just be in the now. Be in the now of the word. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Cynthia, Dr. Cynthia Oliver. How are you?
Good morning. I am fine. How you doing?
I am doing fine, doing fine. Like I said, I know you had awesome. Cynthia Oliver for so many years, so, you know, I'm going to stumble for a while, but, you know, it's in my heart.
It's all right, darling. It's
like
all right.
It's like a nickname, you know what I mean? You've been called by the Nikki all their life. Do you know Rochelle? No. Rochelle who? And then when you see it, you're like, oh, I know her as Pookie. You know, so them nicknames and stuff. So it's not just a nickname, but it's just a name I know. So, you know, I said, Lord, I'm working with it. All right.
Good all
morning.
Right.
Good
Take
morning. Let's see.
Good
morning,
morning,
Deborah.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
All right.
Dr. Bessie, Dr. Cynthia.
All right. Hey, come on up to Dr. Deborah. We're gonna start
the calling the 30s.
Yeah, there you go. And it always happens. Call it as though it is, and those things will appear. That's the word of the
Amen.
Lord.
Yeah.
All
Amen.
Right. So, Deborah, would you give us a prayer this morning?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You woke us up with purpose. We thank you for allowing us to walk in that purpose, doing things your way, giving you the glory and giving you the praise. Be with us, Lord, as we come to bring whatever you deposit to us today, and we will be the first doer of what we hear. We're not exempt from the word because our mouth is being used. We're supposed to be a doer of what we hear. So let us hear what thus say the Lord today. We love you. We adore you. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Have your way,
Lord. That's the key right there. Whatever you say. Whatever you say.
Yep.
That's it. All right, all right. So, Deborah, how was your weekend last week? I mean, your weekend last week. Well, I'm getting real hyper here. How was your week?
my week was good. The same as usual. Not a whole lot going on. You know, just excited. My niece's having a baby. So we got some new, Cynthia, we got some new sugar in the house. New sugar.
I like it.
You know, new baby. Not like that baby sugar, boy. I be still in kisses when they looking. So I'm excited about that. That's going to be next Saturday. This week is, like I say, just usual work. And today I got to go in for a couple hours to tighten up some things. But I just thank God to be able to get up and go in my right mind.
Amen.
Yeah, people don't realize how important that is. We just get up and go and don't even think about it until that leg can't walk. But that arm can't move.
Come on now.
But my eyes can't see as good as they used to. You know what I'm saying? You just be going. Well, forget about God until something say, tap, tap. You be like, oh, Lord, that's the first person you call of. And that's why.
Okay. Jesus?
Yeah, honey. Oh, Lord. The Lord said, oh, you need me now? Oh, is this what? Oh, it's okay. Well, what about when you was flying high? Yeah, okay. But you know what? Because I love you, what do you need? He ain't going to never turn you down. Woo, that's the only person you can depend on. Cynthia,
amen.
How was your week?
My week was good, you know. I'm just sitting back and just in prayer and just talking to our Heavenly Father to see what He has next, girl. Just I'm not in a rush to do and go nowhere. I was thinking about getting out there and start applying for jobs, and I was like, no, just rest in the Lord for a minute. Just rest in Him and trust Him and see what He has for us next. So that's what I'm doing. I have not been in a rush to move beyond where I am with regards to what I'm doing, and that is running this Bible college and teaching for another university, and I'm just resting and trusting Him. That's what I've been doing for the whole week, and just in prayer and in the Word and just seeking Him for His direction, because He will never steer me wrong. And what about yours? How was your week?
Excuse me. My week was exciting. I'm on a vibration now. I'm riding a vibration. I'm so high up here. I'm like, Lord, it's a good feeling. It's been a long time since I've been on this level of vibrations. And then actually being able to see the end. That's what they tell you. If you want something, you got to see it. You got to see the end. You got to see it already done. And it reminded me as I was getting dressed this morning, Deborah and Cynthia, I am getting dressed and get my coffee because today we're shooting television shows today. So I got a full day, all day today. We get through with this. Got to rush, go get makeup, come back, get dressed. And then we're shooting some. I think this is going to be interesting conversations with mothers and daughters. This year's our focus is to make sure that we try to have as many mothers and daughters together as we shoot. But I just look back at it and I'm saying, God, I felt like Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, excuse me, talking as if I know him. personally, but Dr. Martin Luther King, he said to the crowd, I've been to the mountaintop, and I've seen on the other side. So he knew what it looked like. Even to unto death, he knew what it looked like because he had seen it. And he told everybody, I'd have been there and seen it. And if I don't get there with you, just know I know this is going to happen. And for some reason, I was fixing my coffee and talking this morning. And I was like, God, I've seen the other side. I mean, God has got it so plain that I could just kind of walk out of where I am now into this whole creation that he's shown me. It's that clear. And then all of a sudden, Martin Luther King's voice came up. I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the other side. I was like, wow. That gave me just a itsy bitsy glimpse of what into what he was saying at that time. Now I didn't say I was going to leave here and I didn't see death. I just saw the project completed. So that way we know it is already done. And that's what happens. It's already done. We just got to see what it, he, let him show us what it is, what it looks like. And then there's nothing can stop you. So that's the kind of thing that I'm on now. And you saw the meeting we had Thursday night, the board meeting we had. And you see how much God has poured out. That wasn't me. That was God. He's been working with me for weeks on just telling me, you need one for here. You need this. You need that. You need this. You need that. And I'm like, oh, Lord. He said, now you've outgrown it. Now, the vineyard is prepared. We need laborers. The laborers are few. So it's a great week. I'm in an independent state of mind. And I just know that if I saw the end, then the laborers and whoever needs to come will show up because he already showed me the end. Does that make sense? I'm hoping that makes sense. So that's my week. That's my week. So the good day, ladies. I'll say this to the audience out there, mothers and daughters out there, wherever you are and whenever you hear this radio program, we have completed our task as far as getting all of our shows over to the new television network. We could have launched it last night, but I didn't want to because, like I told him, I want him to go ahead and put in the radio program. I didn't realize that the radio program could run the way that it ran until I saw how they work it for someone else. So now today they're going to be working to upload all of our shows from the radio program onto the television network. So when people come to Roku, the first one that we're going to show on is Roku. Then we're going to go to Fire Stick, and then we're going to go to Apple TV. Then we're going to go to Android TV, and then we're going to do Vimos and all these other streaming platforms as we branch out. And then we're going to look at doing cable, the cable networks. So right now, maybe tomorrow, I told him Monday. So I'll just say Monday. Monday, you'll be able to just go and look at all the shows and how it's lined up and be able to say, I want to watch Mother and Daughter TV or I want to listen to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables. Ladies, are you ready to go to the next level? That's my question.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I only heard one yes.
Absolutely. Yeah,
amen.
She's there. She's
amen.
All right. This is what we've been waiting on. You'll be like, oh, you're Deborah from the Mother Daughter Roundtable. Girl, I listen to you all the time. You all of that. Cynthia, I heard when you got your degree. Man, we've been following you, girl. You went a long time, but you got it. You motivated
me. Amen.
You know, Dr. Bessie, you know, thank you. Thank you for giving us advice and listening to God and getting the right subjects right. And y'all just brought that. People are out there that know us already. It's going to come together. God is bringing it all together. Yeah. That's why he said, are you ready? I said, I'm ready. I wasn't ready some, I'd say 8 months ago. I thought I was ready, but I wasn't ready because there was so much more revelation he needed to show me, to raise me up, to listen and to hear. Not that I have to know to do, just follow instructions. Hear me, hear my word, and follow my word. And then you'll be all right because you're going to be doing exactly what my will is. It's something I talked about a little bit of that yesterday about the will of God. All right, ladies, our topic this morning is mothers and daughters. Do you believe the word of God? That's what he wanted us to talk about today. You may know the word of God, but do you believe the word of God? Do you understand the word of God? Are you getting revelations from the word of God? So we're going to dive into that. So I'll come back and pick you ladies up in a few minutes once I deliver what he's telling me, and it's going to be an awesome message.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right, mothers and daughters out there, like I said, this is absolutely our time. This is the year of eight. We finish the year of 2023, which all adds up to the number seven. Seven is the number of completion. Done. Done. Eight, we begin. So all that you have been waiting on, all that you've been struggling with in your mind, because you already had it, but, you know, when we say done and beginning, beginning is just renewing your mind. It's not starting all over again. It's renewing your mind. Every time you renew your mind on any situation, you begin again. And now I'll tell you how that works. Say, for instance, you in a relationship with somebody, and the relationship going good, then it goes sour, as many of them do. All of them don't dry up, rotten, and die, but they can go sour, and you got to refresh them. So then the person says, you know what? I apologize. I was wrong. And baby, will you just, baby, can you, will you take me back? Here you come. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not, you know, because, you know, we done had this song and dance, and we done went through this too many times, and you come back and say the same thing and da-da-da-da-da. And he said, baby, but I've changed. I done changed. I'm not the same person I was then. I done learned that, you know, out of everything and everybody out there, I realize you're the one for me. And then you want to say, you changed? How have you changed? So he got to tell you. And one of the best things he could say is that I got saved. I renewed my mind. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Then that, and especially you're a Christian woman, that puts you in a position where you have to renew your mind. To start all over again, you have to renew your mind. I don't care what situation it is. You have to renew your mind. And you say, okay, let me think about it, pray on it. And then you get revelation. And the Lord says, well, you know, hey, I forgave you for all your mess. He has apologized. He has repented. He's now a member of the kingdom. He's a child that I've given to Christ. Who are you not to forgive? And now you got to make a decision. And then you say, okay, well, most times women will say, I'm going to try it and see, because I have to see it to believe it, because I know this Negro. Excuse the expression. And then you see a different person, and then all of a sudden, you renew in your mind too, because you see the good. You see the person different. You see the expression. You see the love. You see the intimacy. You see the conversations. You see the playfulness. You see all the things, looking at movies together. Baby, what you want to do? What you want to eat? Where you want to go? I bought you something today. You're like, wow, who is this person? He's a new creature in Christ. So you got to renew your mind. Just because you're a Christian don't mean that you too don't have to renew your mind. You have to renew your mind every day. Every day. Can't live on yesterday, which is a whole nother story of a conversation God told me. There isn't but one day. We all in the same day. We just sleep a little bit and wake up. Sleep a little bit and wake up. We're in the same day, same Garden of Eden, as he told me many years ago. My children don't realize they're still in the Garden of Eden. This is the Garden of Eden. This is the only, this is the earth I created. I don't have two gardens. Yeah, but one, it's just been a lot of creativity. Buildings, cars, planes, lakes, houses, boats, all these things, but it's still just one garden, and everybody's playing in the same Garden of Eden. So with our topic today, mothers and daughters, do you believe the word of God? That's what we want to talk about, because we have to not argue over the word of God, but divide. When it said divide, look at it, means you can't change it because it's the word of God. It is what it is. Your thing is to renew your mind to receive what the word really means and what God is saying. And in that, you have to seek the Holy Spirit. You can't seek your girlfriend, your pastor, and the this, that, and the other. You can't seek man to divide the word of God, because man don't know the word of God. You can read words. Only person that knows the meaning is the author. How you going to tell somebody what they are saying when they wrote the book, when they are the creator of the word? And then you're going to get and argue with somebody. No, well, see, what God was saying was this. And I'll say, no, God said this. That's why I don't get in conversations with people about the Bible or politics, because there's two foolish people talking about something neither one of them know. Nobody, neither one of them have the answer. Yeah, well, no, but God said this and God said that, and he mean this. No, that's what your interpretation is of the word. So why are you going to argue with me about my interpretation of the word, and you got your interpretation of the word, but only God know what the word really means? So the only person that can give you any insight on the word of God is the Holy Spirit, who knows all things. Now, that's where I want to get you, right there, because if you believe that the Holy Spirit is who God says he is, my spirit is my mind. See, the Holy Spirit is your subconscious mind. That's where he rests. That's where you collect data. But in order to get that, you got to receive it from the Holy Spirit. All revelations come through the Holy Spirit, who knows all things. So sometimes, as a Christian clinical psychologist, and I'm talking to my clients, I say to them, why go ask your friends how to do something that they don't know how to do? And even if they did it, it doesn't mean that the way they did it is going to work for you. You're two different people. You have two different mindsets, two different lifestyles, two different consciousness of beliefs. Nothing works until you believe it. If this person believed it and it worked, then fine. And that's a thing that we do when it comes to race consciousness. A lot of times people say, oh, well, see, white people, they got a better chance at life than we have. They rich and they do that. And then, you know, you got the Afro-Americans sitting back watching the white people. See, I want to be like them. Or if you really want to see some riches, you want to see people in Dubai. You want to see people in East India. That's where the riches are, in Africa. This is lightweight here in the United States when you're looking at people. $300 million drop in the bucket. What about $300 billion? That's India. Pure gold. You don't see them wearing them but gold. So you say to yourself, is it the white man, or is it the brown man, or is it the black man? Because you got a lot of black wealthy billionaires as well. So now that goes to show you that Chinese, billions. So we can't say if the white man got it going on or the white woman got it going on. It's your consciousness. Do you believe? Do you believe the word of God? As I was talking to Jesus this morning at my altar, I know you love me. Always, from a little girl, I thought he loved me better than anybody else. I put it out there because I did believe that. I know he loves me without a shadow of a doubt. And I know he sees all these things. It's up to me to change my consciousness and to get into the word. What did he say? He said, my power I give to you. That's a word right there. My power. Every Christian should divide that word. Power. My power I give to you. And I give you my authority to use my name. That's all he had to give you. That's all he had. God gave him power and authority over the earth, and he gave all of humans under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's why you choose him as your Lord and Savior, because you got to go through him. And people say, well, why I got to go through Jesus to get to God? Not the physical body, duh. Through the act of love, through the act of forgiveness, through the act of restoration, through the act of repentance. But it's all about love. Jesus represented one thing to show you how love looked like, and to show you and to tell you that God loved you. No matter what you do, he still loved you. Now think about it. Every testament in the Bible, old and new, were some of the worst case scenarios. Think about it. You can't hardly find a story in the Bible, and I'm trying to think of one, where it just everybody just like, oh, I don't have any problems. Everything is good. Da, 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 no challenges. Only person. And Jesus didn't even have it. Let me just say that. I started to say Jesus, but Jesus didn't have it. He had challenges. So everybody in the Bible demonstrate a testament of being challenged. The devil even said, and those are, and when you say the devil, one lady, she challenges me every time I say that, there's no devil, there is no devil. Because when she's a child, they scared her about the devil. So right now she's processing, you know, there is no devil. No, that's, he's not real. Everything is a consciousness. Everything is a thought. Everything enters into your interconversation. And then it lies into your subconscious mind. That you receive and believe, you will experience. There's a lot of things in your subconscious mind that you receive. You receive everything you see, smell, taste, hear. Feel, everything is recorded. But the ones that you put your belief on, they're going to show up because that's the word. Do you believe the word of God? Whatever you say and believe in your heart and don't doubt it, you shall have it. That's the word. So when you are going through situations, you have to ask yourself, at what point in time did I put this word out there? I had a client this week, and he was saying to me, that's why I said he, because a lot of people think I only do mothers and daughters. I'm a Christian clinical psychologist. I do the entire family, couples, individuals, family groups, mothers and daughters, sisters, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, the whole nine yards. So when he said to me something about his child, well, it wasn't about his childhood. Excuse me, that I had my phone off, but it came through my iPad. When he mentioned something to me about a situation in his life, and I told him, I said, but this, I said, the Holy Spirit is saying, this is something that you said as a child. This is something you said as a child. And I know he don't mind me telling you this because I'm not giving you the name. But the situation was, because he had difficulties with his father and getting angry, saying something like, I ain't never going to have no children because I don't want my child to go through this. And then you wonder why you're not having any children, because you've already set that. You already said it. You said it and you believed it at the moment you said it. I don't care if you was 2, 3 years old. If you say it and you believe it at that moment, the word is not to be a lie. It will work. It shall return. It shall do exactly what you say. I said, do you remember saying anything like that? I said, this is what the Holy Spirit telling me. He said, you know what, Dr. Bessie? I remember when I was a teenager and me and my dad got into an argument, and I remember saying those words. I said, see, now you got to erase that. And everybody blaming God. Well, see, God, he see this and he know this is happening to me. God can't do nothing to help you when you have already put your will out there, because then he would be a liar. He gives you the will to choose. Now you put it out there, that's what you get. Don't blame God. He already told you in Mark 11, 23 and 24, 22, say have faith in God. He said you can speak to the mountain. The mountain can be anything. Sickness, death, finance, people. Be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Mean get thee away from me. And if you believe that, it will happen. If you say that you believe something in your heart, it's going to happen. The word of God is not going to change. I don't care what situation you're in, you have to go back and ask yourself, what part did I play into this? And the story that I told this young man was about Kenneth Hagin. The one thing I like about Kenneth Hagin, he was an evangelist, and the Holy Spirit worked a lot of healings through him. And he'll tell you, don't come to me thinking I'm doing this. Only when the Holy Spirit come can I lay hands on you and the Holy Spirit works. There was a young man that was parents called Pastor Hagin and said, my son is in a coma. Our son is in a coma. And we want you to come, Pastor Hagin. We know if you come and you lay hands on him, you know, he'll be healed. So he said, okay. And he went to the hospital where the young man was, and it was all standing around. And he told him, he said, well, I'm going to need you all to leave. And everybody left out, and he was in there talking to the young man and talking to the young man and talking to the young man. And the mother and dad, I think he said, was still there. And he said, he walked on the outside and he said, I don't understand this Holy Spirit. You ain't even show up. And that was the first time he said he experienced not having the Holy Spirit show up when he called upon him. So he walked on the outside and he said, I was just baffled and I was talking about the Holy Spirit. You didn't even show up. So he was talking to the young man's brother. And he said, you know, I've never had anything like this to happen before. It's just like the Holy Spirit is not showing up. I don't know why. And can't talk to him because he's in a coma. And the young man's brother said, well, he always said he didn't think he was going to live till he was 40. And so Pastor Hagin said, well, how old is he? He said he's 39. So he said he went back and he told the parents, he said, well, he's going to die. Now, you know parents don't want to hear that. They're not seeing you lay hands on people. And see, people are not looking at the Holy Spirit. A lot of times they're just looking at the person. And he'll tell you quick, don't look at me. I'm not the one. I'm just the body that's being used to do the work. So they was like, what? He said, because he has already set the bar. He's already set the stage. He's already said, I will not live. I do not believe. You hear? The words was, I do not believe I will live till I'm 40. In a coma, nobody can reverse this but that young man. He has to go to God for himself to change that. And he couldn't. And nobody else could. Because nobody else had the will over it. He said, so y'all can get ready because he's going to die. He can't. He's the only one that can reverse it. And there's nothing I can do. And the Holy Spirit didn't even show up. Because the Holy Spirit like, what do you want me to do? Ain't nothing I can do. So yes, there are things that God can't do. And people, what do you mean? God can do all things. Another part of a conversation this week. No, he can't. God cannot do all things. He can only do what he tell you he's going to do. He gave you the promises. They're all out there. If you got a problem, go look at all those promises, over 8,000 promises. Go into those promises and see what he said and do what he said and watch that word manifest. So why am I saying all of this? I'm saying all that to say this. When we look at other people and we see them prospering simply because They believe that they're superior. They believe that they're rich. They believe that, you know, because their parents have told them, they raised up in wealth, and they see it and just go from generation to generation. Because what? Everybody's in that belief. And whatever you believe, you receive. So it just spreads on down generation after generation. All the wealth just going from generation to generation. Well, the same thing happened with poverty. You raised in poverty, always talking about you ain't got no money, and baby, we don't have it. It ain't like this, and we ain't got no job, and I'm trying to do the best I can. That's going to spread right on down generation after generation after generation. And my daughter said to me one day, this is some years ago, she said, Mama, you know, I have never heard Grandmama say she didn't have the money for something that I asked her for. And I had never thought about it. I said, well, Angie, you know what? You're right. I have never heard my mother say, we don't have the money. I have never heard my daddy say, we can't do it. I have never heard that. And that's why it's not a part of my thinking. I believe if I say it, I can have it. That's the way I was raised. If I say, Daddy, I want something, Daddy say, Daddy will get it. And I have never had my daddy to tell me, well, baby, I can't do it. I have never heard my mother say no. My mother would say, well, let mother think about it and let mother see, and I'll get back with you. That was always her answer. I didn't think about it, but even Angie, the next generation, she said, I never heard my grandmother say. And Angie has that same mindset. Whatever we think, we believe. But you have to stay on that wave. I was there for years in my life. Got off, got on another train, following somebody else, and took me completely into a whole new dimension. Not their fault, my fault. That's why you have to be careful with whom you keep company. Because the enemy has a way that can suck you out. Now think about what was the words that was said over you before you realized that those words have caused you to live the lifestyle that you are in now? What was those words? Because those words are the words that you're going to have to say, God, I cut that generational curse. I'm starting right here, starting right now. I'm going to live the lifestyle, the blessings that you promised me, not because my parents didn't know, not because I wasn't raised in a rich household. Once you're a child of God, you are then wealthy. You have all the riches of Christ. So that's the point. Wherever you are, you can start right now and you can live the life and receive the blessings that Christ has afforded upon you. All right? That's a lot, but that's the message. All right, Deborah.
Wow. I tell you, believe in God. And I was thinking that, you know, as a new Christian when I got saved some years ago, I had to work on, you know, I always knew there was a God from a young girl going to church, but no relationship. And as I got into the Word, it's a gradual thing. It's like learning something new that you keep digging and digging and digging into. You're never going to get the 100% full knowledge of all the things that God do. But he says, I'll meet you where you're at. You know, I won't put no more than you can bear. I know where you're at. You're human. You're frail, you know. And he said, Apostle Paul, I believe, talked about the elementary things of God. You know, he said, right now, we some of us are drinking milk. We should be eating meat. And it means that we're not maturing as we should. Some people have been saying, you know, I want to call it a number of years, and some of us or them are drinking milk. And God is saying, don't just be hear of the word, be a doer. Do you believe that God can do the thing you heard, the thing that you read? He says, I won't lead you wrong. I'm God. I don't have to lie. I'm not like man. I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, come to me, those who are hungry for righteousness and thirst to do what I ask them to do. I believe Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, in conjunction, join together, and the rest shall be added. So I came to myself one day, and I said, okay, I got it. He said, seek what's right. Believe in me. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you, and I add the rest. You know, I ain't got to strive to be blessed and strive to have the material things, or have economic resources to be able to live a life that I would want to live down here on earth. He said, because when you leave, you're going naked. You came in naked. He said, so focus on just being right. Seek me and my righteousness. And then that entails a wide range of things, kindness, meekness. Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Do you believe that God can help you be nice? Because there's times that the temperature goes up. And he's saying, hey, be angry, sin not. Let me know it's okay to get angry, but don't sin. You already there now. You finna cross the line. And he teaches us, you know, his word, how to believe in him. And it's a process for the ones that's new. It's a process on how to believe in God. No, you're not just going to pick up the word, read the word, and automatically start saying, I believe everything I read, everything, and just work it out. That's why he says, you know, renew your mind. And we keep renewing, and we keep renewing, and we keep getting refreshed, because we can't believe without knowing what it is that we believe in. There's a God. We got that, right? Do you believe that he's able to do all the things that he said? You believe that he exists, okay? Do you believe that he could transform you to be a new person, that he could take that mindset, that he could take that mentality, that he could take that spirituality to a whole other level? Do you believe God is able to do that? You believe God, but do you believe in God's capabilities? Do you believe what he has the potential to do, which is all things? And so as a believer, every day is a new opportunity to believe God for what he said that he's going to do with my life, what he said he's going to do in my family life, in this ministry, in this world. So don't just pray for, so because of our Father prayer, it says us. Forgive us. And so every time we pray for other people, whether we like that or not. Whether we like, you know, some people are stuck on our toes, some people we got art against, God say forgive, let it go. But when we pray, we say, forgive us, Lord, for our trespasses, as we forgive others. Everything is about us and others, us and others. God, I say, I didn't just come to save you. I wish that everyone should come in, you know, but he knows who's coming, he knows who's not. So believing in God, to me, is I believe you exist. I believe about your Son and your Holy Spirit that you left down here to those believers to operate on earth until you come back. And I got to tap into the thing that I believe. You know, since I put my whole life, what's left of it, in it, if I ain't believing it. He says, don't be like the waves of the ocean. To and fro, they go up and down. They're double-minded. He said, if you don't believe me, believe me. I'm God. There's no other like me. I'm able to do the thing according to my word. Don't go praying for somebody's husband. God ain't in that because you keep out. Come on, I'm just keeping it real. Don't go praying that you win the lotto. God ain't in it. I'm just saying, he said, according to my word. You pray back my word to me and you believe that it will happen. And don't waver like the ocean. Believe. Don't be double-minded. Believe. Put my word back on me, and I'm going to honor my word. He said, but it's based on if you believe in your heart that I could do the thing you asking me for. And so it's a process. It's a transitional phase from phase to phase, believing. And every time God do something for me, I put that on my resume. So when the next problem come, or the next situation, or the next concern or care come, I said, okay, I remember being here before. It wasn't just like this, but I remember he brought me out. And that helps us build our resume so we believe God more on everything that comes into our lives to turn us and distract us and destroy us and divide us. He said, I'm able. I didn't come to steal, kill. That's the enemy. I came to give you life. I came to give you hope and a future. And you believe me. I don't have to lie. I'm God. Just trust him at his word and work on that relationship and read that word and ask God to give you understanding before you read it and revelation and move you in the spirit which way to go, left or right. You're learning. It's a process, but God will not leave you out there. He said, I will accomplish that thing I set my word to accomplish. It will not return unto me void. Amen. Believe in God.
Wow. That's good. That's good. That's good, Deborah. You know, there's a couple things that you said that I'd like to expand upon. I don't know. I think we lost Cynthia somewhere or another. I don't know if her phone went dead or what. But when you said it's okay to get angry, but do not sin, what does that mean to you when he said do not get angry, but I mean, you could get angry, but do not sin.
I believe it means to me is not to let it harbor in my heart, mean to get rid of it, to not let it grow and fester. So, in other words, somebody do something to me, I'm angry, and then I go to play after I get them back. Or they come to ask for forgiveness, and I want to hold it. So now I'm sinning because I don't forgive them. I believe that when he says, you know, get angry but sin not, is don't cross the line. Don't cross the line. Don't do evil for evil. Don't let it take you to a point. You mad, but don't let it take you to a point that you won't get back, that you want to do them like they did you, or that you want to treat them in a way that's not Christ-like, that you want to be like the world. In other words, don't handle it like the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I you know, so I wanted you to explain it because I know a lot of times people don't, and then you explain it and it helped me too. I asked for me too because I was thinking, I said, okay, so is this what, and I wanted to know what your thinking was, but there's a lot of mothers and daughters out there, you know, we say things and then they don't understand what it's means. What do you mean I can get angry? Well, it seems like getting angry will be sinning. So I wanted you to share that with them, so, and all of us, so that we could see, yeah, you can get angry. Jesus got angry. But then he never told a person, well, I'm not going to heal you today because you made me mad yesterday. And so, so that they could see you got to be in love. And if you're out of love, you can sin real quick, real quick. And like you say, to hold it and let it fester, then you really got yourself something. That's why I'm quick to repent to God, and I'm quick to repent to my daughter. Because I tell people, you let that thing go for 30 minutes or an hour and see what the devil do with it. By the time he get through talking to the person in their head, they won't even recognize you when you call to repent. And then now you got a mess. You got a mess.
Uh-huh.
It's harder to do it. That's why I said no. I don't let 5 minutes go by. I said we taper it and we'll get back to it. I can't rest, Deborah. I mean, my intro conversation going, I'm like, nah, this doesn't feel good to me, you know? And so I'm not, no, mm-hmm. Let me call my baby back, you know? And I said, oh, look, let me apologize because, you know, I thought I was right. Sometimes I still think I'm right in my heart. But I, you know what? I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because I could be wrong because I'm looking at it from my own perspective. You know what I'm saying? You can't see from somebody else. So I'm like, okay, let me just clear this up because it doesn't matter about who's right or wrong. It matters about being in love with you. You're my daughter. And being able to feel comfortable with you. I ain't messing that up now. Okay, what nobody says. If nothing else matters about that. Good job. Good job. All right, well, anything else you want to add? Because right now Cynthia's gone, and so we can go ahead and talk. There was something else that you said that I wanted to expand on, but I can't remember what it is now. But we have to be able to know when God says something, how to look at what he's saying and not change it around, Deborah. That's what we do. We change it around, you know, to make it fit what we want to fit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just remind me what it was when you say, when don't pray and ask God to give you somebody else's husband.
People do pray that, though. People do pray. They unlearn. They don't understand that you, first of all, it's adultery, and God is not going to allow himself to go back on his word because he says, don't commit adultery even in your heart. If you think on a woman in your heart, you already committed it because you done did it in your mind. So people will pray to God that, you know, praying that they break up with that one. And, you know, some of them might want to do it the legal way, break it up, divorce, and come over here. But, hey, that's that person married. You can't go to God with that. God say, pray my word. Pray the word back to me. Not that he forgot that he need to be reminded. He just say, pray according to my word. So the word according means a whole lot, right?
Yeah.
According. Keyword, according to my word. According.
Right. And not the one you want to put in there to add a couple words to change the whole meaning. Because he told me one time, he said, if one word is added to my word, then it's not what I said. Because one word can change the whole meaning. And so,
and then I heard
people say, well, you know what? He said he don't even love her anymore anyway. They just staying together. They not really, you know, husband and wife. He just staying there that he can get himself together. And I'm telling you, people just want to believe anything. Just want to believe anything. No, he's staying there because he want to stay there. And then he's able to do what? Eat his cake over here and eat his cake over there, and then string you right along. And you, baby, as soon as I get myself together, we get the divorce. How long that go? Well, it's been 10 years now, but, you know, they had the children. And they're walking right along with that lie and go right along. And I'm believing God because that's my husband.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I heard a pastor say, and I think it was Kenneth Hagin. But he was saying that this woman came to him. Yeah, it was Kenneth Hagin. Came to him and asked him to pray for one of the pastors, a big evangelist, to pray that he become her husband, because God had said to her that he was her husband. And he says, I'm not going to do that. You have to know Pastor Hagin and the way he talks. He says, I'm not going to do that. He said, God ain't told you that. And on this, you come telling me God told you that. God ain't tell you that man, the pastor, an evangelist, with a wife, going to be your husband. God didn't tell you that. Now, I don't know who talking to you, but it ain't God. And I'm certainly not praying and asking God to break up this man and his wife for you, and you wouldn't even be a good wife because, see, you don't know the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, every time someone do that, it never works out. They may try to stay together just because they don't want people to know it's not working out, but it never works out because somewhere along the line, shame, disgust will get in somebody's heart and be like, God, what was I thinking? I left my whole family. Can you imagine how many men? I left my whole family, and I'm over here. But see, you know, he can't go back because the wife's been like, don't even think about it. Your choice, you live with it. How many people in that position, Deborah? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to get back. But
yep.
You can't.
Want to get back.
But you can't. My daughter was telling me this morning about someone that we know, and I'll just say it like that, went through that. And she said, you know what? All these years, he's not been a good husband, and I'm tired. Got a divorce, and I don't know if she got the divorce, but I know they separated, and she moved and bought her a house, and started her business. And she still worked her job, but she started a business in real estate and doing all these things. And what happened? The minute when it looks like, what? She done bought a house, a nice house too. You know what I mean? Couldn't come home before, but now I'm home. I want to come back. See, those kind of things that kind of bother me. And you got to be godly and forgive. You know, but it takes a whole lot of forgiving. And my hat's off to people that can do it, because I would be, you know, I'd have to work on that. I'm still working on that, Deborah. As Steve Harvey could say, God ain't finished with me yet. I don't know, Boo, if you could do that or not. But this thing about forgiveness, everything, don't listen to me, don't listen to Deborah, listen to the word of God. We told you what the Holy Spirit placed on our heart, but go to God for yourself. Ask God. What should I do? And whatever God say, because God want marriages to work. And that's why I said we have to renew our mind, Deborah. We have to renew our mind in order for us to be able to walk this walk called being a Christian. Thank you for sharing, Deborah. That was good.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. I'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr. Bessie a question about your mother and daughter relationship, go to contact@matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. May the Lord bless your mother and daughter relationship. Blessings. The Mother and Daughter Roundtable is brought to you by Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. If you'd like to make a donation, visit matriarchnow.com.
All right, that's our show. Thank you, mothers and daughters out there. Thank you, Deborah. Cynthia, we don't know where you are, but somehow another technology did its thing. Thank you. Y'all have a great weekend. Love you, Deborah.
Love you, too. Bye, audience.
Bye-bye.